Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service this morning. I'm Alistair Black. I'm the senior pastor here, and I'm really excited this morning to be starting a brand new series called Exploring Christianity. Now, you might have received this link from a friend or a family member or just somebody you work beside, and you might be wondering, why on earth have they sent me this link? In the passage that we read in the New Testament, it talks about preparing the way of the Lord. And that's something that as Christians, we believe we're involved in. That actually we are called to help facilitate people to understand who Jesus is and to create opportunity for them to do that. So if you've been sent this link by a member of our church or our church community, I just ask that you consider looking at it, looking at this talk, thinking about what we're saying, and explore Christianity over the next few weeks as hopefully we come towards the end of lockdown. I don't know if you've ever had some great news. I don't know what is the best news you've ever heard. It might have been that you had been awarded a degree, that you had been spending a lot of time studying and researching for. It might be that you got that house that you had always wanted or that career and job that you aspire to. It might be that somebody you loved said they were willing to marry you and spend the rest of their life with you. It might be that you heard you were going to be a parent for the first time or a grandparent. It could be 101 things, and I don't know what it is for you. But probably it might have been something that was surprising. It might have been something that brought about a change in your world and the way that you thought about things. I remember when I first became a father, and I looked at my daughter and this tiny little life, and it transformed the way that I looked at the world. You know, it was something that just brought transformation as this news, an event occurred. And then sometimes we hear good news and we want it to be true, but we don't dare hope. We just think that can't possibly be true. I want to consider Christianity this morning as the good news. Because Christianity makes this extraordinary claim. It claims that the message about Jesus is the best news you could ever hear. That's how Mark starts his gospel. This was written maybe 20, 25 years after Jesus' life. And it was written under the influence of one of Jesus' closest pals, a guy called Peter. And Peter directed Mark to a whole bunch of stories. And as Mark heard these stories and he wrote them down, and that's what we have in this gospel called Mark's gospel, he thought, how do I describe what I'm hearing here? How do I describe these stories and what I'm seeing about Jesus? And he said, you know what? I'm going to say, in the beginning, we heard the good news about Jesus the Messiah. You know, a lot of people think Christianity, good news? Really? You know, most people's experiences, or a lot of people's experiences of Christianity, is that it's incredibly dull. And they've gone to church and they've sat there bored to tears. And they've thought there must be better things to do. Robert Louis Stevenson, the writer, he records in his journal that once he went to church and he said after it, he said, I'm not depressed. As if this was something extraordinary after going to church, that it hadn't depressed him. Maybe that's been your experience. For others, it just feels incredibly irrelevant. What is a man who lived 2,000 years ago, 2,000 miles away, what relevance does he have to my life and my situation and what I'm going through right at this moment? You know, how can he possibly have anything to say to me and my life? Others just think it's not true. You know, it's some kind of little myth that people have developed over the years. and that people have just bought into, but it's basically not true. There really isn't anything for me in terms of the Christian message. You know, often this impression and experience of Christianity is based around a misunderstanding about what Christianity is all about. Some people think that it's about historic buildings. They think it's all about Christian heritage and derelict buildings from many, many years ago. Thanks, David. Others think it's all about rules. It's all about doing this and not doing that, of a form of behavior. Others think it's about leaving your brain at the door, that actually it's not about thinking and you have to switch off your intellect to become a Christian. It's for really needy people and not people who want to think deeply about things. Others think it's about having your fun ruined. Mark wants to address all of these impressions right in this first sentence. And he says, you have to understand that this good news is about Jesus. And it might seem pretty obvious, but at the center of Christianity is the person of Jesus. Christianity is about this man. And then for a lot of people, they just don't understand that. That for us as Christians, the center of our faith is a series of claims about who Jesus is. And it's about exploring those claims in relation to who Jesus is. And Mark is saying that when you understand who this Jesus is, you'll understand that what we're reading in the pages of the New Testament, what we're reading in terms of the stories of Jesus, that this is incredible good news. Good news not just 2,000 years ago, but good news today for you right at this moment. The first claim that he makes in this sentence is he talks about the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah or the Christ. I remember when I first came across Christianity, I used to think Jesus Christ, that the word Christ was Jesus' second name. And just like I'm Alistair Black, and Black is my second name. I didn't understand that actually the word Christ is a title, a bit like president or prime minister or king. And the closest meaning to it is actually that idea of king. It means, and you'll see in the translation that we read, we use the word Messiah. And the word Messiah or Christ means the king who would show us the way, the king who would give us direction. I don't know if you've ever been lost and you've been searching around for direction. I was once hearing about a friend and he was driving around and he stopped for directions and he said, can you help me get to Dublin? And the guy said, oh, if I was traveling to Dublin, I wouldn't start from here. And it's like, yeah, thanks. Or another guy who once gave directions, which said, turn left half a mile before you come to the church. That was really helpful as well. Thanks. You know, but I don't know if you've ever been lost and you've been searching for direction. But here's this claim. The claim is that Jesus is the one who has come into the world as a king who will show us the way. He will give us direction, and he'll actually help us to get from where we are to where we truly want to go. Now, you might not know where that truly you want to go is, but the good news is that Jesus does, and Jesus wants to lead you in a way that will lead you to the place where you will find the true meaning and significance for your life. And the claim that Mark is making right here at the beginning is he's saying, this Jesus is the one who has come to give us direction. Now, when Mark makes this claim about Jesus, and when Jesus made this claim, it was an incredibly dangerous claim to make, a highly controversial claim to make. Because in the culture in which Mark was writing, the emperors claimed to be that king. You see, it was the emperor who would show us the way that we should live. It was the emperor who would show us the way that we should be. It was the emperor who would direct us to the end for which we were created. And Mark wants to stand up and he says, you know, if you believe that, you've got it wrong. If you believe anyone else is in a position to actually take you and give you direction in terms of where you should be going, other than Jesus, you've missed the point. Because Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the one who wants to come and give us direction. He then follows this up with a second really controversial claim. He claims not only is Jesus the Christ, but he is the Son of God. This phrase in the Old Testament meant that Jesus was God's representative. He had been sent in a special way to represent God. As we read on, we discover that representation actually is not just about being an ambassador, but he represents God to us by being God. A lot of people don't understand what God is like. Maybe you're one of those folks. Or a lot of people have a misunderstanding of who God is. They see God as an angry individual with a baseball bat ready to batter us over the head the minute we do something wrong, or God who really hates us and begrudgingly grants us things in our lives. Or maybe a God who just wants to dish stuff out to us. And we have all these ideas of God. Sometimes people say to me, well, I don't believe in God. And I always say, well, tell me about what kind of God you don't believe in. And usually when they tell me about the God that they don't believe in, I'll say, I don't believe in that God either. You see, the claim that Mark is making is that Jesus has come to show us God. That's what it means when he uses that phrase, Son of God. There's a story of a little girl. And one day she was drawing and sketching, and her mother came into the kitchen where she was doing this. And she said, what are you doing? And she's saying, I'm drawing a picture of God. And her mother said, don't be silly. No one knows what God looks like. She looked up her mom and she said, they will after I finished. You see, that's what Mark is claiming here about Jesus. We will know what God is like. And as we read the story of Jesus in Mark's gospel, what we discover is that God is not some angry God who wants to beat us over the head with a baseball bat, but he is a God who has a deep love for us, who has our highest good at the center of his relationship to us. He wants the best for us. And the extent of that love and concern actually leads him to give up his life and to die on a cross, so that we could understand the true nature of God as a God of love. See, Mark is saying not only is he the Messiah, the one who wants to point us in the right direction, but he is the God who wants to reveal himself to us and the depth of his love. The third word that is used here is that word good news, or in the older translations, it's the word gospel. You see, Mark claims that the knowledge of the Christ, the Son of God, is good news. This word, good news, actually came from ancient Greek culture. And what would happen is that after a war was won, because they didn't have the internet or Twitter or anything else, a runner would run from the battlefield and he would run to the city. And of course, everybody in the city would know that the battle was going on and they were wondering who won. Are we in trouble or has it been okay? And the runner would arrive in the city and he would get there and he would say, we've won. And everybody would go, yay. You know, like the end of Star Wars, if you watch those movies, we've won. The victory's been secured. That was the good news. That was the gospel. And when Mark uses this word, that's what he's saying. He's saying, that's what it's like when we understand who Jesus is. When we understand that Jesus is the Christ, when we understand that he is the Son of God, it's the best news you've ever heard. You know, we've seen the celebrations of the 75th anniversary V-Day recently, or they had been severely muted. But you'll know that sense from the pictures of victory in Europe when everybody in Britain heard the war is over. People ran out into the streets and started hugging one another and dancing and celebrating. And it was a spontaneous thing, even if you were the type that didn't hug. You know, that people wanted to do that because of the news that you have heard. You know, if your understanding of Jesus is something that doesn't generate that desire in you, I would like to suggest to you, you haven't understood who Jesus is. You know, if Jesus is someone that leaves you cold, if Jesus is someone that seems irrelevant, if Jesus is someone that just doesn't seem to have anything to say to you, I want to suggest to you that you haven't understood who Jesus is. Because Mark makes it really clear, when you understand what it means for Jesus to be the Christ and the Son of God, it's good news. But here's the problem. It's so easy to miss. And there are hundreds of thousands of people who miss the good news about Jesus. Don't know if you've ever met people handing out things on the street. When we weren't in lockdown, I used to walk from my house into the church. And as I'd walk down the street, I'd meet people, and some people were trying to sell you things and sign you up, but other folks were handing out leaflets. And you know, you always get the offer of a leaflet. And you know, you have various responses when people do that to you. Some of you just ignore them and say, no, I don't want to hear that. And you put your head down and you kind of keep walking. I remember once a girl was handing out a leaflet and she said, do you want this leaflet and can I talk to you? And I said, no, sorry, I'm not interested. And she said, well, let me talk to you because my job is to make you interested. I thought that was the best response I'd ever heard. And but you know, some of us just think we're way too busy. We have way too much other stuff on. We just don't want this. Other people take it and just never read it. You know, you look immediately for the bin. You just thought, oh, I'll get them off my back. And you get rid of it. And you immediately put it in the bin, but never read it. Other people read it and just bin it, because we just don't believe it or it doesn't seem relevant to us. There was a newspaper in London who conducted an experiment. And they got this guy to stand outside Oxford Circus. And if you've ever been to Oxford Circus in normal times, it's one of the busiest shopping streets in the whole of Western Europe. And he stood there and he was given the job for 3 hours to hand out a simple leaflet that said, if you bring this back to me, I will give you £5. And that's all they had to do. So you had to take the leaflet, read it, and then walk back up to him, hand him it, and he would give you £5. And he just stood there handing it out. You know, in 3 hours, and he handed out thousands of these leaflets, only 11 people came back to him to claim the £5. You wonder, what on earth went on? What was going on in people's heads? You know, maybe they thought they knew what he was handing out. They had made up their minds already, so they didn't consider what was being suggested to them. Maybe they thought it wouldn't do any good. Maybe they thought it was some kind of trick. And so for all of these reasons, people didn't respond when it could have been so different for them. You know, they didn't bother to take it or read it or refuse to believe it when they did. You know, I want to suggest to you that it's worth taking the next few weeks to journey with us as we consider who Jesus is. To take the next few weeks and just consider why Mark talks about the good news in the way that he does. What convinced him that this was such good news, not just back then, but now, today? You know, I want you not to be like the people Oxford Circus who didn't bother to engage because maybe they were too busy, didn't bother to listen and think, or refused to believe it when they did. I want you to discover the good news about Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. And we just pray that you would help every single one of us to explore and know what it means for you to be described as the good news. Help us to understand you as that King, as the one who has come to show us the way that we should live. But more than that, the one who has come to show us the nature of God and the depth of his love for us. Help us to understand these things. We ask this in your name. Amen.